As that echo of the chime radiates through your body, it calls in the four directions, reminding us of our interconnection with all of creation and with the sacred circle of life. Allow it to call you now to this sacred moment. As we turn within and touch the very essence, the core of our being, and rest in the peace that surpasses, or as some say, passes through our human understanding. And breathing into this sacred space, we let all distractions just melt away as we center in spirit and allow our hearts to fill with thanksgiving for the presence of God within each of us and within this community. And trusting, truly, truly trusting that God knows our needs even before we ask, we open ourselves to receive God's love, guidance, and blessings as we listen to yesterday's daily word, which was world peace. With loving thoughts and actions, we open new avenues of peace. Let all that you do be done in love. Words of the Apostle Paul remind us to be instruments of love right where we are today. As instruments of love, we create a peaceful environment and invite others into it. We look forward to each day as an opportunity to bless others. There is a ripple effect that occurs when we show our love. We are peacemakers in our homes, workplaces, and communities, brightening the day for everyone around us. This demonstration of caring and appreciation is what love is all about. It evokes peaceful feelings between two people and among a world of people. Each day, as we bless others with our loving thoughts and actions, we open new avenues of peace in our world. And the scriptures is from Ephesians. Peace be to the whole community and love with faith from God the Father and Mother and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I am that I am has brought me to this now moment. Here I am. I am that I am has brought me to this now moment. Here I am. I am that I am, I
Now, normally, we would begin our lesson and meditation time with sacred readings from traditions from around the world. However, our printer wasn't working this morning. So we'll just imagine our connectedness to all traditions from around the world, and we will move into some more special music.
In order to be the change we want to see in the world, we must find a new way of living with compassion, understanding, tolerance, and forgiveness.
There's a place for us. Somewhere a place for us. Peace and quiet and open air. Wait for us somewhere. There's a time for us. Someday a time for us. Time together with time to spare. Time to learn, time to care. Someday, somewhere, we'll find a new way of living. We'll find a way of forgiving. And we're halfway there. Hold my hand and I'll take you there. Somehow,
thank you so much, Denise and the combo. And now we'll have Dan speak. Thank you.
Morning. I was telling Denise before when I came in and they were rehearsing that that's one of my all-time favorite songs from the only movie I've ever seen more than 25 times. West Side Story. And it sounds more noble than it is. I saw it about 28 times because I was in the projection booth. But still, I bought it when it came out on videotape, when videotape was the rage. And wore out one, so I've watched that movie a lot and really enjoy it, and that song was great, and you did a great job with it. Thanks, Denise. We're trying something slightly new this morning. I'm going to try to control the slides from up here while I talk, because I went and made it so complicated that I didn't want to force somebody else to have to learn my techniques. So I need periodically to go out here and see where, yes, okay, we're at. This week is a fourth in our series based on Marianne Williamson's book, The Gift of Change. How many of you are reading it? How many of you are experiencing change? How many of you are experiencing change as a gift? If you're not experiencing change as a gift, you're not reading the book, guess what? But if you are experiencing change as a gift, if you've already mastered that part of your spiritual walk in your life, I would encourage you to close your eyes and sleep for the next 15, 20 minutes. I have nothing to say to you. So. Marianne's book is about transformational change. This particular chapter we're going to work on today is about something. It will happen. There we go. Is the transformation of moving from anxiety. Was that anxious enough for you? In other words, fear, guilt, shame, stress, worry, concern, all those things sort of come under the heading of anxiety. I don't see any heads nodding up and down, so I'm assuming none of you are experiencing anxiety at this point. Up to what Marianne calls atonement, which really means reunification with God or divine mind. So it's that growth, that transition that we're talking about. You don't like my arrow? I thought it was rather clever. Oh, well. I turned this whole thing into a QuickTime movie, then I could figure out how to play it in the slideshow. So. But that transformation from anxiety to reunification with the divine mind, to reunion, to what the Course in Miracles calls atonement, that I pronounce at one-ment, is the goal of all spiritual paths. That's why we're on one, is to get back to our source, to return to an understanding and an experience of who we really are. It's not an easy task, as I like to say. It's not easy being serene. Serene. Not green. Not surreal. Serene. But there is a single key, a single really important message that before the day my talk is over this morning, I guarantee you will know and remember. And that is that we want to move along this path with a daily spiritual practice. Now you notice I said it's easiest to follow, to go from anxiety to reunification with divine mind with a daily practice. I didn't say you have to have a daily practice to get to that reunification with divine mind. I didn't say it's must. I didn't say it's essential. I said it would be easiest this way. And that's what A Course in Miracles tells us about its purpose. Its purpose is to shorten the time that it takes us to reach that realization. Course teaches, and spiritual traditions in general often teach, we're all going to get there because we never left there. That's our true nature. There's only one of us here. We are by nature divine, eternal, spiritual beings. We are part of divine mind. We can't move away from it. We can't disappear from it. We can't disconnect from it. But we can and do create the illusion of being separate from it. And to realize or awaken to the truth that we are not separate from it, that we are indeed part of it, that it is indeed part of us, that we are indeed one and the same thing, requires that we get stuff out of the way that's blocking that awareness and that knowledge and that self-awareness. So now we have another chance for you to catch up on some sleep. If you're not interested in accelerating your reunion with divine mind, feel free to close your eyes and rest. And if you're not interested in making this journey a little more efficient, a little quicker, then A Course in Miracles and this talk are not your spiritual path. And there's nothing wrong with that. That just is what it is. But if you are interested in that, then there's one message that I have for you today. You're going to hear it enough times that you'll get tired of hearing it, I promise you. Nothing is more important than having a daily spiritual practice. Nothing. This is going to get annoying after a while. Just hit the arrow key for me. We have to have you do that for a while. Okay. Not sleep. Sleep's not more important. Oh, I can't get up in the morning and do a daily meditational practice because I don't get enough sleep as it is, and my boss is really upset that I'm not paying attention at work, and if I fall asleep on my desk one more time, I'm going to get fired. Not an excuse. Not food. Not that any of us doesn't get enough. But it's not more important than food is not more important than having a daily spiritual practice. Not your work. That's not more important than your daily spiritual practice. You will find that if you engage in a daily spiritual practice, work does not suffer, even though you think that it might at the beginning. Family is not more important than having a daily spiritual practice. Church is not more important than having a daily spiritual practice. Your hobby is not an excuse for not having a daily spiritual practice. You're running out of excuses, aren't you? I see some minds out there going, I got four left. He hasn't mentioned this one yet. Maybe I'll get away with that one. But then we go to the next slide, and I have another list. Housework isn't more important. No, I don't know anybody who would actually believe that, but I thought I'd throw that in for a little lighthearted thing. And it's one that everybody could say, okay, I believe that. That one, I can sign up for that one. The other ones I'm not so sure about. Gardening is not more important than having a daily spiritual practice. This one was just for me. Giving a Sunday talk is not more important than having a spiritual practice, nor is it the same thing. If you study to give a talk or to go to a class or to do whatever it is you're doing on your spiritual path, but you don't have a daily spiritual practice centered around that, then you're studying in vain, you're preparing for a talk in vain because your spiritual practice isn't being followed. You're not following a daily spiritual practice. This one you may have a bit of difficulty believing, but not even television.
You lost him.
One person in the second row just passed out. And now, just in case I forgot anything, and I'm in my all-embracing statement that nothing is more important than a daily spiritual practice, why don't you suggest some things you think are more important than a daily spiritual practice? Just shout them out. Eh? Phantom of the Opera doesn't count. Chocolate is more important. She's wearing a shirt that says from New York that says the candy of the opera. Can you guess her? Chocolate. Yeah, right. That's my daughter, by the way. The only one who would be smart aleck enough to do that. Anybody else got any ideas for things that might be more important than having a daily spiritual practice? You want to risk it? Didn't think so. So, but not only is it true that nothing is more important than having a daily spiritual practice, but not much about a spiritual practice, about its mechanics and specifics, is so important that it should cause you to pause and figure out what to do before you get there. There are no excuses. What source of information should I use to develop my daily spiritual practice, you want to ask? Doesn't matter. You can use A Course in Miracles, you can use the Bible, you can use the Quran, you can use the Bhagavad Gita, you can use the Vedas, you can use the Buddhist sayings, you can use fiction book. Is Lisa here? Well, Lisa's here. She likes to do things like Steinbeck. She's a big fan of East of Eden being a legitimate source of spiritual truth. I didn't know if I agreed with her, so I went and read the book. She's right. There is no single valid source of this information. There is no single valid place for you to go to achieve this and base your spiritual path, your daily spiritual practice. In fact, it's not even necessary that you have a place. It could be all places. It could be places you discover just by walking through life and encountering other people. Modern poetry might be a place that you would find to develop a reasonably solid basis for your spiritual path, your spiritual understanding, your spiritual practice. Well, isn't it important that I always meditate at the same time of day and in the same place, all this consistency? Isn't it really important? No. Useful. Helpful. It'll make it easier for you to keep your daily practice if it's always done at the same time in the same place. But if you get up in the morning and you somehow forget or decide you don't have time for your daily spiritual practice, which you usually do in the morning, that's not an excuse. You're not off the hook. You still have to do it. It's daily. Daily doesn't have any footnotes. Daily doesn't have any parenthetical exceptions. Daily doesn't have any, like, daily except when I don't feel like it. Daily except when I'm too tired. Talking to a friend of mine once, he said, I meditate every day except if I'm really afraid that if I meditate, I'll fall back asleep while I'm meditating. You can imagine what I said. Nothing is more important than having a daily spiritual practice. If you forget to meditate at your usual time and place, you're not off the hook, sorry. You have to go find another time and place to do it that day. Let's see, should my eyes be open or closed while I meditate? I can't figure that out, and it's getting in the way of my meditation. Blink them. Can't make up your mind? Open one, close the other. Not important, not relevant. You can meditate in any state with your eyes where you want to meditate or focus and have your daily spiritual practice. Is it okay if I listen to some sacred music while I'm meditating, or do I have to be in the silence? Who cares? There are no rules. Meditation has that in common with knife fights. No rules. You have to be a Butch Cassidy fan to understand that one. But it's just what works for you. This is an individual practice. This is an individual spiritual path you're on. Nobody else is on your spiritual path. You're not on anybody else's spiritual path. We come here every week and get together with people who are like-minded, but we are not coming together every Sunday because we are like-practiced. Now, that seems like a sort of a silly statement until you start thinking about other spiritual traditions where that's not the case. For example, and I'm not picking on any specific people, but I'll talk about the things that are familiar to me. The Mormon Church has very strict and careful prescriptions about what behavior constitutes a legitimate spiritual path to followers of that tradition. No caffeine, no alcohol, you have to pay a tithe. There are a number of other things that are involved. And if you don't, there are specific disciplines imposed on you by your church leaders until you bring yourself back into alignment up to and including expulsion. Jewish tradition, in the Old Testament Jewish tradition in particular, prescribed all kinds of stuff. I mean, you read the Old Testament and you read rules about you have to pay a tithe on the little weeds that grow in the cracks in the sidewalk. You have to count those. Those are important. We think that's silly, but the people of that time were struggling with what does this spiritual path mean? We've been given an instruction by God to tithe. What does that mean? Tithe what? Do I have to tithe this? Do I tithe that? Now, we, in our enlightened position, say, well, you know, it's not the specific things you tithe on. It's the attitude and the mindset with which you bring your good things to the altar. And that's a nice thing for us to say, but that would not have answered the question for the early Jewish tribes and traditions, and they were looking for a legitimate, hard, real answer. So their rule book just grew and grew and grew and grew in terms of describing what a legitimate spiritual practice for them was. We are members of a group, of a community, of a tribe, if you will, that doesn't prescribe that in that kind of detail. We have to figure it out for ourselves. I love people who say to me, man, you guys in Unity, you got it made. There's no rules. You don't have to follow it. Just do what you want. Whatever feels good is okay. And I said, gee, I wish that was the case. But what we are called to do is to find for ourselves what works, what doesn't, what's good, what doesn't resonate, what we can keep, what we have to throw away. And we have to do that constantly because something that worked for us last week, last month, last year, no longer serves. I submit that's a little more difficult and challenging for most of us than opening up a rule book saying, oh, I can't do that. Well, I have to do that. Maybe it's just me, but that's sort of where I end up in that situation. All the questions you have about the mechanics of a daily spiritual practice are just excuses. They're just another reason not to do it. I don't want to do it wrong. What happens if you do it wrong? Let's assume there's a wrong. Okay. There's a rule book nobody told you about. It's over here, buried somewhere. And you're over here engaged in a daily meditational practice where you're breathing into the space and relaxing, clearing your mind and having this communion with God. And you're wrong? Because you're not following some rule book you don't know about? That's a pretty hard position to come to. All the questions that you have really short answers anyway. So here's some more. How long should I meditate? How long should you meditate? 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 73 minutes, 42 seconds. You meditate as long as you love it. You meditate as long as what you're doing feels right and resonates with you and feels like it's beneficial and helping you, and when it stops, stop. So if you have a rule that says I have to meditate for 15 minutes, that's my rule, and you can make your own rules, that's legitimate. And you wake up 10 minutes late this morning, and that if you meditate 15 minutes, you'll miss the bus that takes you to work and get fired. That's a consequence you're not willing to live with. Meditate for 5. Who cares? Don't just skip it. It's not the rule that's important here. It's the practice. It is worth noting, though, in passing, that studies that have been done over and over again in TM and Silva, mind control, all kinds of other traditions have demonstrated that 15 minutes of deep meditation is the equivalent of 8 hours of sleep in terms of the rest that it brings to the body. You wouldn't want to do that as a regular basis because your body also needs what we call physical time to heal itself as well, but you can recover well that way. Then you come up to me after a service, I'm preempting you, and you say, a couple of weeks ago you talked about the difference between prayer and meditation and contemplation. What do I do? Who cares? Mix them up. Do one day and one the other day. It's a practice that's important, not these prescriptions and rules and regulations and descriptions and constrictions. It just doesn't matter. Do something. Because see, ultimately, it's about how you show up in life. That's what's really important about all of this stuff, how you show up in life. When Rory Elder was around, he was my spiritual counselor. And we had, you know, the whole time I knew him, you know how many spiritual counseling sessions we had? One. I got into a place where I was having some difficulty with something, and I said to him one day, I need some counseling help. And I said, fine. So we got together and talked, and I think the session lasted about 20 minutes. At the end of listening to me complain about all the things that were going wrong in my life, he said to me, you're all messed up, Dan. It's not about what you do. It's about how you show up. It's about who you are, not what you do while you're who you are. If you don't lose track of who you are, if you show up in life as who you really are, you will do the right thing. And if you're not doing the right thing, it's because you're not showing up as who you are. Not because you're bad, disorganized, incompetent, stupid, have an inflated ego, though I might. No comments from the peanut gallery down here. So here's a biggie for you. Then you get the next part. You say, all these rules, there's no rules. Now what am I? I have to find some other excuse not to meditate here. So why should I meditate at all, Schaefer? What is that? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? And I want to suggest benefits you may or may not have thought about over the years. The first one is you'll reduce the number of mistakes in your life. That sounds kind of far-fetched, a little hard to link up. But Marianne, in her book here, says, the quote from her book, every mistake we ever make occurs because we are not in conscious contact with our highest self. Let me say it again. Every mistake, not most mistakes, not the majority of mistakes we make of a particular category, not every spiritual mistake, every mistake we make occurs because we're not in conscious contact with our higher self. Period. End of discussion. Hello? Do you make mistakes? You want fewer of them? Nothing more important than a daily spiritual practice. The other thing that having a daily spiritual practice will do is it'll increase the number of times you experience holy instants. Holy instant is a word that's used in the Course in Miracles, and it's a phrase people have a hard time with, so I'm going to try to sort of give you a little shorter, maybe less esoteric explanation. A holy instant is a feeling you get when you suddenly feel yourself connected to another person or to everything. They usually last very, very few seconds, even less than a second, but you get this glimpse. You suddenly have a notion that you really are a divine, eternal, spiritual being. Woo! Maybe even before your thought can fully form, you've gone on. But for that instant, you are in that place you're headed. You are in divine mind presence. So the Course says, I paraphrase, the Course says you live your life so that you have more and more holy instants coming closer and closer together and lasting longer until that's all you are and then you're done. The other good thing about having a daily spiritual practice is that the prayer and meditation discipline that you engage in leads to miracles. Anybody want a miracle? Nobody's buying miracles this morning. Interesting. That's how you get them. A miracle is defined in A Course in Miracles very simply as a change of thought. A change of thought that results in something happening that you wanted or needed. Another thing that a daily spiritual practice will do for you is it'll make you open to and able to hear the voice for God over the thundering noise of the voice for ego. See, this voice for God that whispers, we always call that the still, small voice. It's only still and small by comparison with the ego, which is shouting in your ears every moment, every heartbeat, every breath. You are a body. You are a physical being. You have no eternal nature. You are this, and you're condemned because of that, and you're no good because of that, and you got hurt because of this. That's ego's message. The voice for God says you're perfect. Voice for God says what we say to the children every Sunday. We love you just the way you are. The voice for God is telling you who you really are, but you can't hear it. But when you go into meditation, when you enter your daily spiritual practice, that message has time to come through, has a chance to break in over the sound of ego that you can subdue for a moment while you're in that state. Earlier I said that you'd make fewer mistakes. You'll also have fewer problems and only one solution. There's a Hindu teaching that says, no matter what the problem, meditation is the solution. No matter what the problem, meditation is the solution. Not medication. Meditation is the solution. Wayne Dyer, who's one of my favorite authors, maybe one of yours as well, has a book called There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. Every problem. Now, these are sweeping statements. These are not the kinds of qualified statements you expect from people who are out there with an MD degree or a PhD and have to qualify everything because their peers are watching them and watching out for these kind of sweeping statements. These are people who are speaking spiritual truth to power. And the spiritual truth they're telling you is every problem, every mistake, every situation has a spiritual root and a spiritual solution. Every. That includes medical problems. That includes emotional problems. That includes mental problems, that includes all kinds of problems. So all that's left then is to begin daily spiritual practice. I've told you why all the excuses don't work. I've told you that there aren't any rules, so you have no excuses there either. And I've told you what the benefits are. If you don't want those, then maybe you ought to go back to the beginning and ask yourself why you're on a spiritual path. So all that's left is to begin, but I don't want you to begin tomorrow. And I don't want you to begin on the first of the month. How many of you ever decided to start a diet on Friday, but you decided to start Monday? For how many of you did Monday come and go? How many of you decided, quit smoking? I'm going to quit smoking as soon as I finish this pack. How'd that work out for you? No, we meditate. If we're going to enter a daily spiritual practice, we need to do it right now. Not after we here and now. So I'm going to ask you to affirm with me the message that's going to appear on the screen here. Get yourself comfortable. You don't need to meditate, but just sort of, I don't want you shifting while you're doing this. And let's affirm together. Here and now, I express to divine mind my intention to begin a daily spiritual practice here and now. I claim the peace that comes from a daily spiritual practice. I am successful in this undertaking. And so it is. Namaste.